You know, what's funny about that cotton candy is this morning, Austin and Rush wanted to bring the kettle corn to church, and we told them no. Good old day snacks don't belong at church. I want to start by telling you a story about Kayla and Landry. One unseasonably warm day this past February, Kayla took the kids outside for a picnic in their yard. And she began to take a video, and in the video, Landry is crying because he had just fallen down. And you hear her voice say, "Well, Landry, why did you fall down?" He said, "I was trying to get away from my shadow." And she, you could hear her giggle, and she said, "Well, how did you get away from your shadow?" And he turned around and he looked and he said, "No." I'm telling you that story for a couple of reasons. For one, to illustrate once again the superior charm of Campbell grandchildren. I mean, look at them. But the other one is because I think getting away from our shadow is something that we all have struggled with at one time or another. I was older than Landry, probably about 7 or 8. I remember sitting in our living room where I grew up. All my little brothers and sisters were around me. It was a warm, warm sunshine filled up the living room. We were playing really harmoniously, but I remember just really almost being thunderstruck by the realization of my own separation from everybody around me. We were happy, close family, so it had nothing to do with what they were doing. It was just that realization of I am separate from them. Now, I've looked this up, and I think you're supposed to have this realization like when you're about 2. I had it at 7 or 8. But I remember thinking that no one else really knew that. I remember feeling like I am stuck here in my own head. There's really no way of getting out of my head. And really and truly, it crossed my mind at 7 or 8 that maybe everything that I was looking at was just a figment of my imagination, which was scary because that made me alone. But I didn't try to talk to anybody about it because I didn't know how to describe it. I wouldn't have known, you know, what words. I probably didn't describe it very well just now, but I certainly couldn't have when I was that age. So because I didn't talk about it, that idea, nothing happened to dispel that idea, okay? The other reason that that idea stayed with me, and this is embarrassing to confess, coming to that understanding, I thought, made me feel smart. I looked around at my brothers and sisters and I thought, they don't get that they're also stuck in their own heads. They don't get that really we're all very much alone. Because I felt so smart, I hung on to it. And you know, the longer that you think something, the more it just seems right. Your idea seems validated. It seemed natural. It wasn't natural, it was habitual. And there is a difference. We're kind of lazy with the thoughts that we let run through our minds. We say that we have control of our own minds, but just sit back and watch your mind every now and then. Your mind goes through, you know, it gets stuck in ruts. And we don't do very much to get ourselves unstuck from those ruts. So we go along with this feeling of kind of alienation, separation, and sometimes we do try to draw in a little group with us. And then once we've drawn that group in together, we do some things to keep other people out of the group. In my family, there are now 3 teachers. And when we're together, we go into teacher talk. it will sound something like, well, you know, I don't know if our teachers are ever going to get on board with the IPS. Well, that's crazy. Well, I know. Tell me. I mean, they think MTSS is enough. Oh, my gosh, that's not nearly comprehensive enough. I know. Well, and I can't even get them to look at their MAP data. Well, we don't use MAP. We use Ames Web. Well, yes, I know. But, you know, there is reliability for MAP all the way down into the primary grades. Now, most of you didn't understand one thing I just said. Now, don't feel too bad for them, because the Jamie will just say, what are you guys talking about? Because Jamie Campbell does not get left out of anything she doesn't want to get left out of. So she'll just say, what are you guys talking about? The guys, you'll hear Craig say, hey guys, the girls were yakking and I couldn't hear what HUD just said. One of the boys will say, he said, well, Hosmer just got a steak with that knock. Oh, yeah, you can't. What is it about cheese and a hungry rat? You can't sneak a piece of cheese past a hungry rat. Okay, so we all have our jargon. And the jargon is one of the ways that we keep other people out of that little circle that we form. Now, in our home, I'm telling you that that really is pretty harmless. Truth, like I said, the guys are oblivious. They don't realize that we're excluding them. They could not possibly care less. But we know that that idea of exclusion, of separation, it has caused a lot of societal ills. It also feels pretty normal, natural, human to us. So what do? Okay, here's where I'd like for us to start to look at the reading from Scripture today. What we have is the story of the first Christian Pentecost. Now, it wasn't the first Pentecost, although in Old Testament times it wasn't called that. It was called Shavuot, and it celebrated a couple of things that that day. It celebrated harvest of the wheat. So it's called Festival of Weeks because I guess they harvested different grains in different weeks, and that last week was when they harvested the wheat. So it was a festival of wheat, Festival of Weeks because they harvest wheat. But it also commemorated the day that God gave the Torah to the Hebrew people. So in honor of that day, all of the Jewish people, well, as many as who could, probably mostly men, would travel into Jerusalem. Now, I think that's important that they were coming into Jerusalem. While they were there, this all happened. It corresponded with so many days after Passover. Okay, so many days after Passover. So Jesus has by now ascended. And as Jesus was ascending, he had said to Peter and the other disciples, wait here in Jerusalem. I'm going to send my spirit to you. So they were waiting. All of the Jewish people, or many Jewish people, gathered for the festival of Shavuot when the Holy Spirit was sent. Okay? The Holy Spirit came in with rushing wind and there were flames of fire. Those are two symbols of power. So this is not a little sissy power that we're being given. It's powerful. It's wind and it's fire. That's not the first time, though, even in the Gospels, that the Spirit was sent. The Spirit was present when the angel announced that Mary was pregnant. The Spirit was also pregnant. No, the Spirit wasn't pregnant, no. Jared will never let me back up here again. The Spirit was also present at Jesus's baptism. So the Spirit started his ministry. The Spirit is going to be the power that starts the disciples' ministry. Notice some things about that Spirit. It was tongues of flame. Now, I didn't look up to see if other languages translate it that way, but for our purposes today, I like that image of it being a tongue, because for me, the Spirit has a lot to do with language. Also notice that it rested individually. Those little tongues of fire rested individually on the people's heads. So we are individuals. That realization that I had as a little kid, that to some extent is true. We are individuals. we will start right now where we are as individuals, and then the Spirit will help us to go forth and to do God's work. And the Spirit's always present, but especially we'll recognize the power of the Spirit when we ask for that power. I'm not going to lie because I'm standing up here and say that I remember to pray as often as I should. I'm not going to lie and say that. I forget because I get stuck in those dumb mind ruts and don't do it. There were a few times in my career when I did pray hard, though. One of them, at the end of a school year, I would usually have the kids sit around me in a circle, and I would tell each of them what I appreciated about them that year. I did it one day when we had finished taking a test and I didn't have anything else planned. So I had to fill up the time. So I filled up the time by spreading love. There you go. That's my confession. But the kids started to talk about it. So it was something that was expected, so I had to do it. So it was easy with some kids. I mean, with some kids, you're bubbling up with the things that you love about them. With other kids, I would think, and what I appreciate about you, in my head I'm thinking, you were an incredible pain all year long. But you're not gonna say that. So I would say, please, Holy Spirit, give me the words. Give me the words. I didn't have the words. The Holy Spirit had to provide them. Another time I remember, Trevor had a classmate. My gosh, this kid had a ton of energy. He was one of those kids who literally, I saw him do it. He could run fast, run up a wall and flip himself back over. You know how much energy you have to do that? Okay, it's impressive, but would you want to try to contain him in a classroom? I spent my whole time saying, Billy, sit down in your chair. So then I said, stay in your chair. So Billy just picked up his chair and walked around the classroom with it. I mean, that's who he was. When he was a junior, his sister was killed in an accident. I think it was a car accident. I don't really remember. Well, here is this kid who I could never get to sit down, was crushed. It was heartbreaking. And one day he came in and he just laid his head down. So I taught the class and then I went back to him and I just knelt down in front of him and I prayed silently to myself, dear God, please give me words for this kid. And I said, Billy, honey, I'm so sorry to hear about your sister dying. And I thought, as soon as I said it, I thought, Jane, why did you use the word dying? Why didn't you say your sister passing away, your sister going to a happier place? Why did you use the word dying? I mean, I was shocked at myself. He told one of the counselors later that I was the first person that seemed to admit what had really happened. And there was some comfort in that. That was not from me. That was from the Holy Spirit. I think that there are lots of things that the Holy Spirit could help us to fix. I shared on Facebook, or actually Laura did it because I'm too dumb technologically to do it. Laura shared on Facebook that Heineken commercial. It goes out with a warning, which at first I thought, okay, Jane, you're asking people to look at something on Facebook that has a warning and then come back to church and talk about it. I think there's only a warning because it's a beer commercial. I didn't see anything else that was at all inappropriate. But the premise is that all of these folks have been gathered. And at first you see a video of them sharing some pretty strongly held political views. They talk about climate change, they talk about gender roles, they talk about human sexuality, but you can tell that they have really strongly held positions, okay? Well, unbeknownst to them, they work in partnerships. Well, the people who have the most diametrically opposed views become partners. They don't realize that, but you realize that because you've seen those opening clips. The first thing they do is they build this bar. Now that takes some time, and they do have to work together because no one of them has all of the instructions, so they have to share the instructions that they have. They work together and they build this really pretty cool bar. And then they're told to take out these bottles of beer and put them up on the bar, which they do. And then you hear this voice being piped in, and this voice says, "Share, describe what it's like to be you in 5 words. And they say really honest things. Like this one guy says, "It's frustrating to be me." You know, another lady talks about really never feeling accepted. They're really, really honest. And then the voice says again, "Now share how you are alike." And they come up with really honest, insightful descriptions of how they realize that they are alike this person that they have just met. Then they are shown the videos. So now they see, oh, this person is somebody that I would have thought I would have hated. So, and nobody says anything at that point. You can just see them being really uncomfortable, just sitting there. And now the voice says, you now have 2 choices. You may leave, or you may sit down over a beer and discuss your differences. Well, of course, it's a beer commercial, so no, the people that left, they cut them, they edited them right out. But so what you see are these people sitting down, recognizing our differences are not enough to separate us. I don't think anybody's mind got changed necessarily, but they realized that there were lots more things that pulled them together than kept them apart. I think that's the gift of the Spirit. I think that's possible, and I think that's all of our jobs. You know, when we spend a lot of time talking about what is my mission, what is my, you know, what does God want me to do? What is, He wants you to spread His love. That's our job. No matter what means we use to do that, we are to be spreading His love to each other. And when we have a hard time doing it, we ask for the Spirit's help doing it. And I will tell you that sometimes another way, I prayed this just yesterday, "Dear God, don't let me be so furious with my husband." Just yesterday. And it worked, didn't it, babe? Yeah, it did. The Holy Spirit can change our hearts, which will end up changing the hearts of the world. I believe that. I believe that. I asked to have something put in your bulletin, and it's that "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace," because I just think this is a perfect description of the power of the Spirit. You've got it now. You don't have to say it with me. And I'm going to do just a little bit of this, and I'll probably mix up the lines. "Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there's doubt, true faith in you. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, so much to be understood as to understand, so much to be loved as to love with all my soul. Amen."